of heights to the depths of the sea.
Jesus goes on now in verse 38, and he says, you've heard that it's said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And this phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, is what is in the Latin is called lex talionis. It means the law of retribution. Lex means law, and talionis means retaliation. So it's the law of retaliation.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing.
Welcome everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. In our lesson today, Jesus presents the fullness of the eye for an eye law and how its idea of limiting revenge extends into the principle of accepting certain evils against oneself. The Mosaic Law did teach an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in Exodus 21:24. But over time, religious teachers moved this command to a principle limiting retribution for the civil government and brought it in the wrong direction by using it as an obligation in personal relationships. Now let's join Pastor Rob's teaching already in progress.
Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. He said, Lord, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon, who are idolaters, if you deliver them into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, then shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. And little did he know that it was his only daughter that would be coming out to meet him, excited to hear that her father had won the victory. Now, did he actually use her as a burnt offering? My conviction is I don't think so. I think the Lord allowed him to substitute something else. But the scripture is very vague about that, which kind of makes you... It is. It's very vague. And there's some people say, oh, I think he did it. And other people think, oh, I don't think he did it. Well, human sacrifice was something that the pagans did. So I'm of the opinion, and it's just an opinion, that he did something else. But even David, he would say, I will pay my vows which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. And we do that. But Jesus goes on in verse 34, and he says, but I say unto you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. I believe that you can give a vow or an oath without swearing or invoking something or someone greater than you. You can simply promise to do it. That makes sense, right? I can make a vow but not attach conditions to it. I can say, you know, I'm going to do this, and I just promise to do this. I'm going to give it back, or I'm going to, you know, and some people swear by invoking something or someone other than themselves to secure confidence in the other party that they are willing and able to come through on their end of the deal. And here's some examples. We hear this all the time. Oh, I swear to God that I'll be there tomorrow. I swear on my mother's grave that I'll pay you back at the end of the week. How many times have you heard that from somebody? Probably a family member. Some of you are laughing. We know a lot now, don't we? Yes. But Jesus, again, points to the fallacy of the scribes and the Pharisees, even in their swearing of oaths. What does it tell us in Matthew 23? Jesus says, woe to you, blind guides, who say whoever swears by the temple, it's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, now he is obliged to perform it. Jesus said, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. He says, fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sacrifices the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and all things on it, and he who swears by the temple swears by it, by him who dwells in it, And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. No need to swear. No need to make some kind of binding thing. Well, God, if you do this, I'm going to do this. Why not just ask him, Lord, would you please do this? But see, in our own infirmity, in our own lack of faith and to prove our desire, isn't that why we add conditions? We swear to it. We say, Lord, if you just give this to me, I'll... Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Jezebel swore by an oath to her own life. She said concerning Elijah, who had killed her prophets of Baal. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, and here she makes a vow, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And of course, she was not able to obtain Elijah and kill him. And the Lord saw fit to make sure that that vow that she had taken was fulfilled. And it was. In 2 Kings 9, verse 30 through 37, the Lord allowed this evil woman who continued in her evil and idolatry to be killed. And it was a horrible death. You read about it in that verse that I just shared with you. But notice we go on to verse 36. And nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Does anybody have white or black here this morning? Some of you have none at all. And Pastor Jeff used to make jokes about his beautiful locks, because he didn't have any. And he'd be laughing if he was watching this. But Jesus says, but let your yes be yes and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. And isn't that really simple? It's really simple just not to swear, not to make any kind of agreements. Just say yes or no. And you're not able to make one thing happen or another. James in chapter 4, verse 5, he says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Because I don't have control. I can't make promises where I can't keep them. I'm not even aware of what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know if my car will start. So how can I tell you and vow to you and give you, I promise tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock I'm going to be at your shop. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. If the Lord wills, I'll be there. And if he doesn't, come find me, because I'm probably alongside the road stranded somewhere. James, again, Jesus' half-brother, would say in chapter 5, verse 12, but above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. I think he understood what his big brother was telling and what his big brother had said to him. Just very simply, make your yes, yes, and no, no. There's no need to make oaths and vows when you don't need to. Trust the Lord enough that if it's really him, he's going to provide it. And if not, then you don't want it. Oh, Lord, I pray if you allow me to win the Powerball, you know, the $1.3 billion or whatever it was. You know, I'll give 90% to the church. He's like, okay. If you do, by the way, win the Powerball and you want to give 90% to the church, we'll gladly receive it from you. I'm only slightly kidding, but anyway. But only God is able to swear by an oath, because he's the only one who is capable to see it through. We are sinful human beings. We're corrupt, right? But in Genesis chapter 22, beginning in verse 15, and this is after Abraham attempted to put his son to death, because God told him to do it. He was in the process of doing it, and the Lord intervened, and God provided the ram for the substitute in Isaac's place. And notice what it says in verse 15 of Genesis 22. It says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself, notice the angel of God, which is Jesus, we believe, by myself I have sworn, says Jehovah, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying you, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens. In Hebrews, it tells us a very interesting thing. Hebrews 6, verse 13, it says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, when he made an oath, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. So it's better for us not to make oaths. And yet, there are times that we have to. But we need to do everything in our power to fulfill those things if we do. Jesus goes on now in verse 38. And he says, you've heard that it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And this phrase, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, is what is in the Latin is called lex talionis. It means the law of retribution. Lex means law, and talionis means retaliation. So it's the law of retaliation. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And this was in the law, but it was given so that retribution had limits and that the crime fit the punishment meted out. It wasn't a blank check to avenge somebody and go further than what the crime specified. So it was a protection, if you will, lex talionis. It didn't just give a blank check for somebody to, you know, go after somebody because they did something. You had to be careful in what you did. And it was meant for personal acts of retaliation. In Exodus, what does it tell us? Exodus 21. If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. Notice it's not left up just to, you know, a mob mentality. No, there's limits. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If a man strikes the eye of his male or female servant and destroys it, he shall let him go free for the sake of his eye. And if he knocks out the tooth of his male and female servant, he shall let him go free for the sake of the tooth. How many toothless and eyeless servants are running around? But this was the Old Testament law. And yes, I'm sure the crime rate was incredibly low. Because there was, if this happened, this happens. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth might be necessary for those who are still governed by their old nature and our sinful society. But not so with the child of God. We are to operate in grace, mercy, compassion, just as the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us. And Paul captures this very well in 1 Corinthians. He said to them, is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goes to brother against law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. And so our life, our code of conduct is very different from that of the world, isn't it? It ought to be. And that's why Jesus is sharing these things. But I tell you, verse 39, to not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now this is speaking, I believe, of personal retaliation, not concerning things of civil law and criminal activity. If a criminal does something, he deserves the consequence for that thing. But we're talking about, Jesus is talking about a personal thing between people. And if someone commits a crime, they need to face the consequences. That's really what Romans 13 is all about. Those things are there to slow down the spread of sin and for consequences. But this verse that we just read does not mean that you can't protect yourself or your family if somebody is physically attacking you to hurt you or to kill you. You need to defend yourselves. That's why a shepherd would have a staff and a rod. The staff would be one where he would wrap it around the neck of the sheep when they got too close to a cliff. But a rod? Why was that there? To help the poor guy because he was walking with a limp? No, it was there to whack the wolves and the bears and the leopards and whatever was trying to eat his sheep. It was his mandate to protect. And guys, just like it's our mandate to protect our family. It doesn't mean that you don't do that. But when somebody is personally attacking you with words and slander, it's a kind of a different matter, especially if it's done in, for righteousness' sake. When you're suffering for righteousness' sake. And the best example of this, I think, was when Jesus was beaten and humiliated by the Roman guards. What did it tell us in John chapter 19? Let me read it to you. It says, so when Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and then they said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they struck him with their hands, and Pilate went out again, notice this, and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Wait a minute, so he wasn't charged for anything, but yet you're going to beat him and scourge him with the cat of nine tails. You're going to scourge him and make him a bloody mess, but he hasn't done anything wrong. He just admitted it. And yet Jesus had every right to call down a legion of angels and smoke them right on the moment, to turn them in, literally into, there wouldn't even be a black spot left. Just nothing, just gone. He could have done it. He could have done it, but he knew the purpose for his life. And he knew what this was all about. This was their personal vendetta. They hated him. And they would do anything to destroy him. Even though Jesus wasn't found guilty of anything, as it says in Isaiah, you know, he was a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep, you know, silent before its shears. But Jesus, he went the extra mile and showed us by example. He turned the other cheek, because that's what he's telling us to do when we are personally maligned somehow, to turn the other cheek. He wasn't driven by anger or wrath to look to get a pound of flesh. He didn't retaliate. There will be a time that he judges. And when he does, no one's going to want to be around. Because when Jesus comes back in his second coming, then it's payday. And it's not just for personal vengeance. God the Father is going to destroy those people on the earth at that time in his second coming. Those who have rejected Christ, they are going to suffer. And it's their own fault. It's their own fault, not God's fault. We choose, but he will retaliate, and it'll be a righteous retaliation, and God the Father will mandate it, and he will make it come to pass. But notice that Jesus is not just a religious leader who says, do as I say, and then he doesn't do it as well. No, he is our example, our prototype. That's why Paul the Apostle would say in Corinthians, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Peter would capture this idea in his first epistle, and he would say, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh, for this is commendable. If because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? In other words, you deserve that. But when you do good and you suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for this, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. See, nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. And we don't have to like it. I mean, for anybody to go, I can't wait to be persecuted so that I can, you know, be like Jesus. Nobody wants that. And nobody calls for it. But when it does happen, and it's because of righteousness' sake, ought you not to take it patiently? We ought to. To follow the example of Jesus. But not in America. You cross me and I'm going to... You know, I've been really challenged by this. I'll be honest with you. This passage has literally ground me to powder. The last couple years have been, and I'm sorry for saying this again, but I'm just being transparent and honest with you. The Lord is dealing with me on internal anger that I've got. And you're probably feeling similar things, perhaps, because I'm a patriot. Every one of us loves the idea of justice. Justice is not a bad thing. I want justice for myself too. If I do something wrong, I'm going to pay the price. But if I'm doing good, then, you know, then I avoid those things. And God has given us by his Spirit that spirit of the desire for true justice. And then when we don't see it, when we see leaders who are supposed to be doing the right things and doing just things that are just the exact opposite, it's really hard. And the Lord has been dealing with me on that. And you know, I apologize to all of you because there's been times where I've just been struggling, and it shows. It shows in the things I say. And forgive me for that. Especially over the last couple years. I feel like there's been times where I've just been a tyrant in my heart. God wants something better. He wants something better for me, and he wants me to be different. And I'm up for the challenge. I'm up for it. I want it. I know it's right. So, Lord, I'm saying here, take me. Forgive me. And change me. Make me that person. Make me this person that you're reading. This is why it killed me. This is not a message I wanted to share today because it hit really close to home, right center here. Jesus goes on in verse 40 and says, if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Remember, a tunic was this outward garment. Back in that day, they would have at least two garments. They would have an inner garment that they would be covered with and then an outer tunic. You know, and the Lord is saying, are you willing to give up those things? Maybe even your rights for the furtherance of my kingdom. Am I willing to be wronged? Am I willing to be cheated? And not be running to the lawyers and screaming bloody murder and going on Twitter and everywhere else and screaming and complaining about it? Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. And give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Just the care for others, and willing to do without sometimes to help somebody else. Or maybe making your life a little bit skinny to give to somebody else. You know, these things we ought not to fall back or you know, run away from. Jesus goes on in this last section. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love, or agapeo, your neighbor, and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may, and here's the reason, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil. What? You allow your sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and send rain on the just and the unjust? I thought you would only send rain on the just and put a cloud over their house.
That's the end of our lesson for today, but please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues our study in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.